From a quarantine studio brought to you by KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As the United States Senate unanimously passed a $2.2 trillion package to respond to the economic crisis from the coronavirus pandemic, direct help for ordinary Americans appears to be close. But critics point out that the financial assistance for corporate America is outrageous and reveals the double standards that Congress applies to corporate responsibility versus personal responsibility. Meanwhile, a well-timed new academic study published in the Journal of Finance reveals how a massive government program in the wake of the 2008-2009 recession spurred insider trading among politically connected insiders. Already, Senators Richard Burr and others are facing accusations of selling their stocks ahead of the full scale of the virus becoming publicly known. Will there be a similar feeding frenzy this time as well? Well, joining me for that historical framework that is needed in this time is Michael Powelson. He teaches at LA Valley College and Cal State University Channel Islands. He's the author of Swindlers All, A Brief History of Government Business Frauds from Alexander Hamilton to AIG. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Right. I mean, it's a repeat of what they did in 2007, 2008, 2009. They can't do anything any differently. And I think it really underscores the obvious point that a global capitalist system is utterly incapable of sustaining itself without massive government bailout. And this goes back in my book. The very first bailout was in 1792 when Alexander Hamilton was the Treasury Secretary. And they keep doing it over and over and over again. While this stimulus package, I agree they should be giving money to individuals, it's a paltry sum. And what's really going to happen here is what happened in 2008, 2009, where trillions and trillions of dollars will be transferred into the corporate coffers because they can't maintain the market system unless they're bailed out. And the tragedy, of course, and what I fear is that there's going to be massive unemployment. People will lose their homes. They'll lose their jobs. Poverty will increase. And the corporate guys who caused this, and I want to emphasize that the coronavirus didn't cause this economic collapse. This was coming. And we have a consistent pattern of economic collapse in the United States and globally. And anybody that argues that it was because of a discrete event like a pandemic is either dishonest or naive. These things happen again and again and again, and it's in the very soil of a global market system.
How do you say that this was coming before the coronavirus pandemic? Because if you listen to President Trump, the economy was better than ever. He was counting on economic indicators being so solid with, official unemployment rate being so low that he was expecting to sail to re-election on this one major issue.
Well, people that observe these things, even if they're not anti-capitalist per se, they recognize that, corporate debt was through the roof. And these rating agencies, which were so, culpable in the last collapse when they refused to call corporate America to the carpet over their dicey financing, they continued to give corporations these AAA plus ratings when it was very clear that the debt-to-asset ratio of these corporations was huge, and they were heavily, heavily leveraged. In addition to that, we know that, consumer demand has been very weak for a long period of time because corporations don't want to pay workers anything. And so workers don't have money to buy. So all of the elements were there. And then the scams that go on. When Trump claimed that, the economy was doing well, what he's talking about is corporations engaging in stock buybacks. Do you want me to talk about that? Because it's a big fraud. But that's how they were able to maintain this fiction that there was great profits being taken. It did, the growth in the economy was simply an accounting fraud that went on where corporations were buying back their own stock, thereby increasing the value of the stock that was out there. This doesn't in any way improve the economy. And this has been going on forever, and they'll do it again unless people object.
So the tax reform bill that the Republicans passed a few years ago, which was meant to spur job growth, essentially sent corporations so much money, put so much money back into their pockets. They use that to buy back stocks rather than increase jobs, rather than increase wages. And now they, without very many reserves, economic reserves on hand to tide over a crisis, they've essentially come back begging for taxpayer-funded bailouts and handouts, is what we should say.
One of the great lies that is perpetrated is somehow if you cut corporate taxes or cut taxes to wealthy individuals, you stimulate the economy. There's no evidence of that historically. The income tax and corporate tax was introduced in the early 20th century. It was increased numerous times, and the economy boomed. After World War I, corporate and income tax were cut a number of times. It did not prevent the Great Depression. Throughout the Roosevelt years, Truman and Eisenhower years, corporate taxes and income taxes for the wealthy were raised. At one point, it was over 90% tax on the top one percentile. The economy didn't collapse. So this is a lie that has been perpetrated for many, many decades, that somehow cutting the income taxes of wealthy people and corporations will somehow stimulate the economy. In fact, what stimulates the economy is when people are at work with good paying jobs. And that has been very, very rare in every industry in this country, including the one that I'm in, which is academics, in which they've been cutting our salaries and our benefits for many decades. And it does not help the economy at all.
So let's
it makes people rich. But
let's look at the last example that we have of essentially a corporate bailout and a massive government program to shore up businesses, which was the Troubled Assets Relief Program, or TARP, in the wake of the 2008-2009 crisis. I mentioned this new report, this academic study by some pretty important academics at the Pennsylvania Wharton School and others was published at the Stanford University, University of Cambridge. So these are some very, very solid academics who really understand these issues. They published a piece in the Journal of Finance that showed that the Troubled Assets Relief Program, that was $700 billion of government of tax money to purchase these so-called toxic assets from lenders, led to massive amounts of insider trading by people who were connected. Is this what we should essentially expect to happen this time around?
Absolutely. I mean, they can't do anything any differently. And for many of them, they're incapable of acknowledging that they even engage in fraud. And, I've made this point many times to my students that the first person that a swindler swindles is themselves. So you're never going to get them ever to admit this stuff, but we have to look back objectively and analyze the data and the history to determine that, Charles Ponzi was engaged in a fraud and Ken Lay was engaged in a fraud. And what's going on with these, stock buybacks and with the insider trading that we see exhibited by a number of senators, including our own Dianne Feinstein, they're always going to deny it. They're going to say, no, it doesn't look good, but no, I would never do that kind of thing. But they do it again and again and again. And why anybody would support giving these guys this kind of a bailout anyway, I've long felt that any corporation that is collapsed, broke, General Motors, was collapsing in 2009, and the government could have bought the entire General Motors Corporation, North American operations, for $3 billion. Instead, they bailed General Motors out for $149 billion. Unbelievable scam that happened there. And at the end of the day, once they did all this selling back of General Motors stock, the federal government lost, they did an audit. The federal government lost $10 billion in that deal. When they say that they pay this bailout back, they're not being honest. And I would argue, you don't have to nationalize every industry, but if a corporation like GM or the major banks or the insurance companies, if they're collapsing, don't bail them out, just take them over. We have many, many industries in this country that are already run by state and government agencies, and they do just fine, like the CSU, the UC system, police, fire, schools, Tennessee Valley Authority. This idea that here in this country, we can't allow the government to run things is a complete lie. Of course they can. And if the corporate guys can't seem to take care of their own books, then I think as a people, we have a right to take over these corporations. Of course, neither Trump nor Obama nor Biden would ever accept this argument, but I suggest that people seriously consider, why don't the people take over these collapsing corporations rather than bailing them out?
Right. Of course, that would be seen as nationalizing industry, which is, of course, this terrifying socialism that we're all supposed to be afraid of. You brought up Biden. Biden defended the bank bailout from the last crash, saying that, well, the money that was given to banks wasn't given, it was lent to them, and they paid it back with interest. I'm not sure how he defends, if at all, the General Motors bailout that you were just mentioning. But what do you make of, you know, even so-called even Democrats that are supposed to be members of the Liberal Party joining in to throw our money at big corporations?
Well, I think it underscores how little these two parties actually differ. I mean, they're on the same page on basically everything, whether it's bailing out corporate America or trying to overthrow governments in Latin America. You know, we're presented with a false option here, you know, one be liberal, the other conservative, but basically they end up carrying out the same policies. And right now, we as a people are confronting massive unemployment. You know, there's never been such a spike in unemployment claims in US history as happened last week. I think it's like over 3 million people. Did they cause this collapse? No, this is caused by the gambling that goes on in Wall Street, and with or without the coronavirus, the markets would collapse. It happened 12 years ago. It happened with the dot-com bubble. Every time they come up with some alleged, you know, unique event, and you know, they use this as an excuse. In 2008, in 2009, they blamed, you know, working and middle-class people that took out subprime mortgages. That's not what caused the collapse. That's a big lie. And now they're going to blame it on a pandemic. The reality is that we could get through this pandemic without witnessing a global economic collapse, but we have to reorganize our economy. But these guys are hardwired only to make sure that profits are flowing in. And that means if they're even giving individual people money, it's not because they care about them. They want them to pay their rent. They want them to buy stuff. That's all they care about. We could very easily handle this pandemic in a much more rational way. But of course, if you're continually cutting taxes, you're cutting funding to public health departments, right? And the way to deal with the pandemic, of course, is to have masks and serum and sanitizers at the ready, stored food at the ready. This is a rational way to do it.
Right. That course, would involve President Trump invoking and using the full force of the Defense Production Act, which again is seen as far too interventionist into a market economy. But of course, giving them money is not interventionist.
Well, I mean, it shows, I mean, historically, capitalism on its own probably would have collapsed a century ago if it were not for the government to constantly intervene and bail them out. I mean, constantly, over and over again.
So the corporate slush fund, as Democrats had called it, to the tune of $500 billion, so almost a quarter of the stimulus package in available funds, is something that the Republicans push. Democrats say they want, you know, some better oversight on it. Then there's just $25 billion just as grants to the airline industry. The nuclear power industry came begging for a bailout as well, even though this has so little to do with the oil and gas industry, has benefited from the Trump administration's purchase of huge amounts of stocks and of reserves for the National Reserve of oil and gas. So every aspect of big business is being propped up. About 12 years ago, we were told that there were institutions that were too big to fail, that if they collapsed, they would take down so much of the economy that we would all be, you know, we would all suffer even more. But can't these industries simply borrow money at low interest rates and then use it to tide them over, themselves over, you know, while keeping people on the payroll and eventually pay them back when their profits return?
Well, that's what they say, but that's not what happens, you know. And my point is that had the money that was used to bail out Wall Street been distributed to every man, woman, and child in the United States, that computes to roughly, according to Naomi Prinz, who's, I think she's with the Cato Institute, so she's certainly not a left winger, but she calculates that $17 trillion was transferred to corporate coffers during the 2008-2009 collapse. If you distribute that evenly to everybody in this country, it comes up to like $30,000, $35,000 for each person. You know, if every person in this country got $30,000 to $35,000, the recession would have been over a long time ago. It would have been over in 2008. But they don't want to do that. Right? Better that they get bailed out and they tell everybody else you have to take a pay cut, you lose your job, you lose your house, you lose your college savings, your retirement. You know, it is a really, really vicious system. And we see how vicious it is. You know, the lieutenant governor of Texas saying, well, maybe old people just need to die.
Right.
You know, or Lindsey Graham. I mean, what a horrible individual saying that we can't give in that much of a bailout because some of the people that would be bailed out are earning less on minimum wage than the bailout. I mean, what rotten people run this country? What viciously cruel individuals run this country?
And there's some comparison being made to how other countries impacted by the coronavirus are taking care of their actual human beings over corporations. In countries like England and Denmark and Canada, governments are at least temporarily paying a bulk of people's salaries. I have a family member who was laid off in Canada and who didn't seem at all worried because unemployment benefits automatically kicked in that provided 80% of her salary. Here in the US, some of us are getting a $1,200 one-time check.
You know, I mean, there's various solutions, you know, and I don't want to, you know, sing the praises of other countries like, you know, China's a very capitalist country and they didn't want to tell the world about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, the global greed is just incredible by the elites. You know, they were worried that it would affect the economy. So China as well, but at least to their credit, once they realized that it was spreading rapidly, they took some real measures. You know, I think it's of no small importance that the very first coronavirus positive in South Korea happened on the very same day that the coronavirus, the very first person to get a coronavirus positive in the United States. And look at the difference, the inability of our government to respond to these kinds of things. You know, again, it just underscores that I would argue that, you know, capitalism is like an umbrella with holes in it. It works as long as you don't need it. But if you need it, it doesn't work. And right now we're staring down even worse unemployment, worse economic collapse than only 12 years ago. And it's engineered by these guys that, you know, they own the media and they, you know, publish loving books about themselves. And, you know, the rest of us are left with, you know, increasingly marginalized jobs and lower income, less benefits, no access to healthcare. I mean, what more burning issue is there right now than that people should all have access to free health treatment in order to get to deal with this? Of course, the government has resources to maintain a massive military structure. Why don't they have resources to deal with you know, the health of its citizens?
So Michael, we mentioned that there were several senators, Richard Burr and others. He's the most prominent. Incidentally, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California also found to have sold stocks right before the full extent of the coronavirus threat became public. These are all people who sit on the Senate Intelligence Committee. So they had been receiving confidential briefings. You know, this does seem to fall on the surface to meet the definition of insider trading. So that's politicians, but there's also corporate executives like Jeff Bezos, who was found to have sold billions of dollars worth of his own stock in Amazon in the first week of February. And he ended up saving hundreds of millions of dollars had he held on to the stock instead of selling it. He's the world's richest man, and his company is not even able to meet the needs of his own workers who are desperately asking for protective equipment as their work increases and more Americans turn to delivery from Amazon. Just unconscionable. So it's politicians and corporate executives who are salivating at this government largesse and who are waiting to take advantage of the of this crisis.
But it's no different from the earlier one, is that, mm-hmm. The people that engineered the collapse of 2008, 2009 did not suffer its consequences. And they were fully bailed out and, in fact, now are wealthier than ever. What's happened since 2008, 2009 is that salaries have stagnated and even declined. You know, I'm not interested in people bragging about how great the economy is. When you're just talking about the top 1%, yeah, they're doing very well. They have access to close to zero interest money. You know, I have to pay 13% on my credit card. Some people pay as much as 21% on their credit card. Why don't we as citizens get access to the kind of money that the Fed makes available to corporations, which is oftentimes below 1% interest? In fact, when you hear these corporate executives say that they paid that bailout money back, that's not true. They used all kind of accounting, fictions that they went back in their taxes and said that, well, yeah, we should have paid this amount of tax in 2006, but we lost our shirt in 2008, so we're going to balance it out. That's not paying it back, right? And they get money at discounted interest so they can borrow the money, pay down the original bailout, but then they still incur the same debt from the Federal Reserve at another loan. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to move money around to create this fiction that, oh, they paid all this stuff back with interest. It's simply not true. And people need to know that. Unfortunately, our media parrots this stuff. I was listening to, public radio, and this woman was saying, well, yeah, they didn't get a bailout. They borrowed the money, so we loaned it to them. Well, yeah, less than 1% interest. I think everybody out there, working middle-class person, would love to borrow money at less than 1% interest. It's essentially giving money away. That's what the big guys get. For me, I still have to pay my rent. I still have to pay my bills, and I still have to pay, whatever interest on credit cards and any other loans.
Right. I mean, homeowners excited about 3-point-something% interest rates right now. A 1% interest rate would be incredible, or near 0%, as the Federal Reserve has done. Think of all the money that just ordinary Americans could save. But it's never, of course, about human beings, or the 99% of human beings, I should say. It's just remarkable to me that we're at a situation now where, as you said, 3.3 million Americans just last week filing unemployment benefits claims. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Some economists are expecting something like 40% unemployment by April, which I can't even fathom. But 40 million Americans, sorry. But at the same time, you have these individuals who have been building up mountains of money, much of it stored away in offshore accounts. You have individuals who say, for example, Michael Bloomberg or Tom Steyer, who can just on a whim launch a presidential campaign, blow hundreds of millions of dollars and barely feel it. These are individuals who are sitting on these huge piles of money that they could do so much good with at this moment. Not that we should be relying on the charity of rich people, but here we are in a situation where this handful of people have benefited disproportionately from an economy rigged toward them. We should be calling for them to turn over 90% of the money that they're sitting on into the federal treasury.
I mean, more than that, as long as the structure of a market capitalist system is in place, they're going to do it the same way every time. They can't help themselves. And back in 2009, AIG was bailed out $189 billion. The state of California, they had a shortfall of $25 billion. But the federal government bailed out AIG, a private corporation, and did not bail out California, which is why myself and many other people either had salaries reduced or we lost our jobs completely. Yeah. And I would argue that the U.S. government should be bailing out the state of California and making the state whole rather than private corporations. But, you know, that's the reality that AIG was able to, and I think they should have nationalized that one. I mean, you know, for all these banks and insurance companies, you know, we should not be bailing them out. We should, you know, go into these banks with, you know, handcuffs and court orders, open up the books and make sure that, you know, people that have mortgages and retirements, that they're not going to be affected by this. And the other side of it, these speculative investors, it's called capitalism. You lose, okay? But no, the our world is that these speculative investors who don't care about human beings at all, they're driven by one, and they will say that themselves. There is only one concern for any business person. It is to maintain dividends and shares for their stockholders. And if it means laying off millions of people or, you know, throwing people into homelessness, that's not their concern. Their concern is profit maximization. And we need to transition out of, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's not going to be easy because the people that run our global economy are really, really vicious and they're violent people and they're extremely sociopathic. But nonetheless, you know, I think it's very clear that this system we call, you know, global capitalism is not working, you know, and the only solutions they have is just to dust off that fraud that happened in 2008, 2009 and do it again and bail these corporations out again.
Michael, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us today and offering just the kind of rage that we need to be feeling and viewing this current moment with. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Michael Powelson. He teaches at LA Valley College and Cal State University, Channel Islands. His book is Swindlers All, A Brief History of Government Business Frauds from Alexander Hamilton to AIG. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.